Welcome to the Richmond Sherm Voices podcast, brought to you by Paycor, stress-free software built to help HR leaders recruit, manage, pay, and develop their people. The Richmond Sherm Voices podcast is the voice and pulse of the Richmond, Virginia HR community with your host, Tiffany Fortune. Subscribe to the Richmond Sherm Voices on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you like to listen. Download episodes at richmondsherm.org. Today, we have the opportunity to sit down with Jillian Tyree. Jillian Tyree is the market director with global talent solutions firm Robert Half, based here in Richmond, Virginia, where she oversees the multiple practice areas, contract finance and accounting, permanent placement, management resources, full-time contract talent, and administrative and customer support. Wow. In her role, Jillian focuses on business development and recruiting, while managing and training her teams, overseeing operations in three offices, two in Richmond and one in Norfolk. Jillian holds 15 years of experience in specialized talent solutions at Robert Half. She has been with Robert Half since 2007 and has served as practice director, branch director, and metro market director. She holds a BA in English from Limestone University. Jillian has also been with Sherm for a little bit over 2 years. She's involved locally with the United Way of Richmond and the United Way Women Rise program. A media spokesperson for Robert Half, Jillian has done TV interviews with local CBS and NBC affiliates, as well as a number of local national print and radio outlets. This is truly an honor. Jillian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I love this podcast. I follow this podcast. I subscribe to it. So I am so excited to be on it again. Thank you.
Last time we sat down, end of last year, I guess almost 6 months ago, we had the opportunity to talk a little bit about how contingent workforces can really build business agility. And it was really because we were focused on this idea of uncertainty, right? There was a future economic fallout, and the looming R, or the recession, was just really something that we were heavily concerned about going into the new year. Well, here we are, May of 2023. The current economic crisis and the threats of recession are still here. And I believe it's the reason behind why we're talking today, and that's the emergence of a new buzzword, a new workplace buzzword, quiet hiring. This new trend in the workplace. After quiet quitting, we now have quiet hiring. And understand, why is this trending in the workplace? So, Jillian, tell me, what is quiet hiring?
So, quiet hiring is a relatively new term. The concept isn't all that new, but we're definitely hearing about it in a different way than we have before. And it's coined to describe an approach to employers that they may be taking in these uncertain times in the economic environment. You know, quiet hiring can involve either shuffling your current employees to address pressing priorities, pressing projects, new initiatives, or bringing on contract professionals in lieu of adding to headcount. And then some professionals may find their list of responsibilities growing without an official change in their position. So essentially, quiet hiring is, you know, just a new it's a new term that we're using in the way of how we're continuing to get work done and how we're continuing to drive revenue while in these uncertain times.
So can you tell me, are companies getting more reticent to add workers?
So despite the news of layoffs and hiring freezes, which we're hearing, I'm sure you're a lot of the listeners are hearing, I'm sure you're hearing, the job market has remained strong. You know, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, monthly job growth averaged almost 400,000 jobs in 2022. That's versus about 178,000 in 2019. The quit ratios continue to be at really elevated levels. So we're still seeing people leaving a lot of jobs, and that's putting pressure on employers to find new hires for their vacated positions. I think with the looming, you know, thoughts of recession or economic distress, companies are very conservative in their hiring approach. So they're looking at different ways to drive revenue and get things done. You know, and the demand for talent remains really strong. Companies are hiring at a more conservative pace. You know, we're seeing companies be more selective. We're seeing more interviews. You know, what used to take maybe 2 to 3 interviews are now companies are asking for 4 and 5 interviews. And that's certainly not something that I've always seen in my 15 years. Adding more steps, getting to meet more people throughout the process, and then continuing. And we talked about this last time, that prioritization of on-site and hybrid and what position should be in what category and should everything be lumped into either hybrid or on-site or remote. You know, and then companies are considering, okay, should we just bring in some contract workers to help with projects or maybe special initiatives that aren't going to be the mainstay of the job going forward?
Okay, that makes complete sense. And I really like the fact that you touched back on prioritizing location. And so I think at the end of last year, going into this year, we talked about location-friendly opportunities, location-friendly roles. Mm-hmm. So it appears to me that there are some benefits from quiet hiring. So I'd love to hear in the next few minutes about some of the pros and cons of quiet hiring. From where I sit, quiet hiring can help reduce the pressure for employees of having to apply for new roles, especially in such a competitive job market. So there is this kind of a stress release that can happen if we are truly, as companies, investing in our talent and looking to see where our talent can grow and where our talent can go. Also, there's that opportunity, instead of having to compete with the external candidates, workers can be approached for new opportunities within their organization based on their skills and expertise, which can provide a sense of stability while offering opportunities for professional development. But where I think you would come in and where Robert Half comes in is at the end of the day is sometimes that talent is not in-house. So love for you to kind of dive in with us on some of those pros and cons of quiet hiring.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. I mean, there are pros and cons to hiring in general, but certainly to quiet hiring. I think the idea of being tapped on the shoulder for a role within your organization that you are sitting in and then being said, you know, hey, Tiffany, hey, Jillian, we'd like to talk to you about this. I agree with you. I think that that creates a really nice culture of growth. And I think that it allows employees to feel like they're being, you know, groomed for roles within their organization. So I think that that aspect of quiet hiring is fantastic. And it does alleviate the pressure of having to, you know, compete against those external sources. You know, the pros in that aspect of quiet hiring is you're going to cut down on your recruitment costs, like advertising and onboarding expenses, because these people are already with you, right? So I think that that's a huge pro to quiet hiring. And also redistributing tasks amongst employees is a way to cut back on workforce costs. So if you have a whole job that maybe can be split up into 5 jobs that you can split amongst 5 people, then you're upskilling the 5 people that are already internal with you, as well as creating, you know, a vacancy to where that job doesn't necessarily need to be done because someone else has taken it on. And if you approach it in the way of you are upskilling some of your internal staff and getting them on a trajectory to take on more and to handle more, that's going to create a great culture within your organization. So really trying to think about that is a huge pro. I think, you know, internal hiring can be quicker than external recruitment. We're seeing that it's taking 6 to 8 weeks to bring on an external employee and bring them into the organization. And that's, you know, kind of best case scenario. So if you have something that needs to get done that's pressing, the idea of quiet hiring by tapping an internal resource is the way to go. You know, the temporary bringing on contractors is a pro to quiet hiring. It allows for things to get done very quickly. When you bring on a contractor, that contractor is typically able to hit the ground running, knock out the work, and then be able to either move on to a different project within your organization or go back to their agency and go fulfill work for another company. So it can happen very quickly if you have something that's time sensitive. And I think, you know, another pro is quiet hiring can provide employees that career advancement, which is going to, you know, boost motivation, engagement, and productivity. So those are all pros to quiet hiring. To your point, Tiffany, The cons, the big con is you might not have the talent in-house. You just may have something that needs to be done or a new initiative or a new role that just we don't have the skills in-house and we've got to go outside to get it. And that's, you know, the decision that companies have to make. And that's a reality. I think, you know, if companies choose not to advertise their jobs externally, they might miss out on potential candidates that could bring a new perspective or a new skill that you haven't even thought about that could fit into the organization. I think the last, you know, another con is just that it doesn't always come across as transparent, quiet hiring. So you have to be very careful about how you're going about it. You know, because you don't want to give employees the impression that there's favoritism or that, you know, anything that would have a negative impact on morale. I think there's a way to do it that you can be very transparent as to why you're upskilling someone or why you're bringing in a contractor. And I think, like we talk about a lot, communication is key there for all pieces of the organization, all departments, for HR to be looped into really understanding what the initiative is and why we've decided to go the quiet hiring route or the contractor route.
I think with quiet hiring, we're talking about an organization strategically, ideally at leadership level, looking at talent across an organization and identifying where the critical gaps are and finding ways to fill those gaps and looking inside first, right? So it's trying to acquire new skills and capabilities without acquiring new people. So what are some of the benefits of bringing on the contract workers as an approach to quiet hiring rather than reshuffling the current employees?
That's a great question. You know, contract talent offers flexibility. These professionals, like I said, they can get up and running very quickly, and you're saving time and money that would otherwise be spent investing in hiring. So these people can come in, you can request that they have your software. You can request that they have, you know, the certain functional skills that are associated with this role. And you're just going to have to train them on the intricacies of how you do things. But more often than not, they're going to be able to hit the ground running for you. And it can help prevent burnout. If you are asking someone who is already overloaded, and most people are right now as companies are very lean and being conservative in their hiring, if you're asking someone that's overloaded to take on one more thing, that could be one thing too much. Because let's not forget that the job quit ratio is still very elevated. And that's something that employees are hearing about on a daily basis. So just thinking about engaging contract talent just to alleviate burnout within the organization. And then when business conditions or the economy improves, employees are already engaging that professional from a contract perspective. So they may not need to compete for talent. They can just go ahead and offer these contractors contract to hire roles. And I think that it's really important that you look at the contractor in two ways. They can come in and get a job done for you, and then you can give them back to the agency and they can be deployed on another assignment, or you can look at them as an offering for your hire. But either way, you're buying yourself time to identify who can we upskill within the organization, who can we look at that maybe we need to work on and give some more things to bring them up, or who do we need to go look outside for, but we don't want to make a quick outside FTE hire. We want to make the right hire. So let's bring in some contractors to create some time for us and some flexibility. So those are really the benefits when looking at bringing on contractors.
So it's pretty clear that quiet hiring and employee development can both save companies money and time, whether it's leveraging contract or freelance workers or utilizing our existing workforce. However, I think it's important for us to just kind of put out here that if we are going the internal employee route, we have to consider the current employee perspective. So giving employee more responsibilities that they aren't interested in is not going to benefit anyone. So I'd love to hear from you, what are some things employees can do if asked or told to do more and not quite ready for that?
That's a great question. And you're right. We need to look at it from the employee perspective too. I think first and foremost, how communicative are you with your manager outside of being asked to do more? Do you have a weekly one-on-one or a monthly one-on-one where you're communicating with your manager, this is my workload, this is what I'm happy with, these are my hopes and dreams with this company, or hey, I'm good, I'm going to roll in this, you know, I have things going on outside, or I'm very satisfied in my role, and I'm going to sit here and this is what I want to do. So before we get to this spot, do you have something in place to where you're communicating on a, you know, weekly, monthly, bi-monthly basis, couple times a month, you know, talking to your manager about your job satisfaction and your job in general? If you can stretch yourself and you can take on more, and this is something that you feel like, hey, yeah, I want to be a part of this, I want to help out, try to rise to that challenge. Try to see if you can, and just communicate along the way of, I'm going to try this, or yeah, I got tons of time, let's do this, I can move this around, move this around. I think that the employee just has to be very transparent, as you were talking about earlier, with what they can and cannot handle. And then don't try to be superwoman or superman. If you can't do it, that's okay. But just make sure you're explaining why you can't and what's keeping you from maybe being able to take on more. Because oftentimes that manager, they may not know. Because again, if leadership is looking at what we need to do, what is middle management able to talk to leadership about? And then from your desk level, how is it all being, you know, run up and down the flagpole so that we can make sure everyone's on the same page? I think also, you know, talking to your supervisor to strategize goals for the month, the quarter, the year. When do these things need to get done? What's the timeline to get it done? And in the event that I do upskill myself and I have taken this on, what next? Is this going to be a promotion? Is this going to be something that just is added on to my regular duties with the same title, same compensation? Or is this something that if I show, hey, I took it on and I've done this, what happens after that? Because I really want to make sure I'm continuing my growth. So I think from an employee perspective, make sure you have those check-ins there. Make sure you're being very transparent about your workload, what you can handle or can't. And then once you take it on, if you're doing it, rock it out and then be like, what next?
Good to get that guidance for our employees out there. So when I sit back and kind of think about the discussion we've had, I think it's important for our listeners to hear that quiet hiring is not just about asking employees to do more, but identifying where the talent is most needed and redeploying your in-house talent towards your goals, your organization's goals. Upskilling, and that's a term we've said a lot in this show over the last 6 months, is upskilling employees with the intention of giving them more responsibilities in order to solve for gaps is also part of quiet hiring. But choosing to fill those skill gaps about outsourcing to freelancers, short-term contractors, is also part of quiet hiring. Jillian, thank you so much for all of the content in which you provided. I suggest for all of our listeners to review their existing recruiting strategies. Mm-hmm. Consider utilizing the positive parts of quiet hiring, transparency, remember that, the positive parts of quiet hiring, and implementing or increasing the employee development options, because I believe your employees will appreciate it. Jillian, thank you for sitting with me today. This has been great. Again, I enjoy talking with you and the Robert Half team. Always a wealth of information. I believe the Robert Half group also has a blog post about quiet hiring that's out there as well. So I'll make sure to tag that to today's episode. But before we close, is there anything on the horizon for Robert Half that we should be on the lookout for, or where will we see you next?
Yeah. So thank you for having me. I love, love, love being on this podcast. There is a blog post about quiet hiring, and you can check out all of the things that are going on at Robert Half on our blog. So make sure when you see that post that you subscribe to our blog. We are going to be a couple of places this summer, and I think it's important that I talk about that here. And if you want to get a virtual link to attend any of these conferences, some of them are available, or if you just want to know more, let me know. But the Financial Leadership Summit in Nashville will be there in May. The CFO Leadership Conference in Boston, we will be there in June. The SHRM Annual Conference and Expo in Las Vegas, we will be there in June. And the Accounting and Finance Conference for the IMA, we will be in Minneapolis in June. So we are all over the place, but there are some virtual links to those. And then there are some CPE credits for my accounting professionals on there. So if you know anyone or have anyone in your organization that wants some of those, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to share.
That's awesome. And I do believe we'll be seeing you pretty soon at our SHRM Diversity Symposium
yes.
coming up. So
that's right.
I look forward to seeing you there in just a week from now.
Oh, that's
my goodness.
Right.
Where's the month going? So thank you again. As always, we love having you on the show and can't wait to see you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Richmond SHRM Voices podcast with Tiffany Fortune. If you like our show and want to know more, subscribe or check out Richmond SHRM website at richmondsherm.com.